Thanks a lot for checking out the Church on the Rock message this week. We would love to help you get closer to God. The best way to do that is to visit cotr.org/connect. Or if you are not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Well, if you have your Bible, let's get right into it. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Let's thank God for the Word, church. Come on, let's thank Him for the Word. Amen. Amen, amen. Well, open your Bibles with me today to Psalm 92, and we're in a series called Planted. Can you say that with me? Planted. Now, Pastor, why would you teach a sermon on planted? Well, in the Bible, the same word planted is the same word rooted or grounded. So we can say planted, rooted, and grounded. That's what a disciple of the Lord should be working for. That's what every Christian should be working for, to be planted, rooted, and grounded in the Word of God, in the relationship with God, in their purpose. Amen. Because we're surrounded by change. If you're like me, I really don't like change. Can I have a witness? Oh, 12 people are honest. You like change? I don't like change. But you know what? I found out change is constant. It's constantly, everything is changing. So we're surrounded in a world of change, transition, chaos, confusion, a world that's out of control. So what's the remedy? You know, someone was asking me the other day, Pastor, I'm counseling someone right now that's going through great transition. How do I help them? I say, take them back to the basics. You always go back to the basics when you're going through transition in a time of uncertainty between family, church, job, career, location, a new season of life, age, change, whatever. That you always go back to the basics, and that will remind you on how it's important it is to be planted, rooted, and grounded. Amen. Because we're in a world that's totally out of control. Now, planted, you know, I was thinking, if you weren't with us a couple of weeks ago, last weekend was Easter, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how planted and what that means. And if you weren't with us, go back to that service. It's free. It's online. But we're going to pick up today. But, you know, as I was thinking about the word planted, I was thinking about Psalm chapter 1. I love Psalm chapter 1. You know, it talks about those who, you know, don't walk with the ungodly and those who don't sit, you know, with the scornful. But those who meditate in the Word of God, that's the Bible, day and night, it says they'll be planted by a river, by a stream, and prosper everywhere they go. Now, that's not blunt. That's Bible. That's Bible. So don't get mad at me with the word prosper, okay? It's in the Bible, prosper. And so notice that two words, letter P, connect them. Those who are planted, those who work on being planted, rooted, and grounded will live a prosperous life. Not an easy life, but a prosperous life. Not a problem-free life. Come on, somebody. But a prosperous life. Not an easy problem-free, but a prosperous life, spirit, soul, and body. And as your pastor who loves you of 42 years behind this pulpit, is I want you to prosper spiritually. I want you to prosper physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, and financially. Is that okay? That's my heart's desire for you. And so that's why I'm teaching on planted, because the Bible says those who are planted will prosper. But it goes on to say in Psalm 1, verse 1, 2, and 3, in wherever they go and whatever they do. Oh, I like that. Wherever they go and whatever they do, they'll prosper because they are planted. So if you're ready, I'm ready. Y'all ready? We're surrounded by change, chaos, confusion, and a world out of control. So how do I make the most, Pastor Blunt, of my life? I don't want to waste my life. I want to make the most of my life. I don't want to live a life of regret. And I don't want to live in the past. I don't want any of you to live in the past. Because people who live in the past are living on stale manna. Oh, you didn't hear me. You remember in the desert, they were given manna every day? The desert. If you don't know your Bible, just fake it. Stay with me, and eventually you'll know your Bible, okay? But in the desert, God gave them manna, but it was manna just for that day. Just for that day. Give us this day our daily bread. People who live in the past want to go back. Always talking about the past. They're living on stale manna. They don't have fresh manna. You and I should have fresh revelation, a fresh experience, a fresh walk with God every day of our life. Amen. So the big idea for this whole series is this: go deeper. Can you say that with me? Go deeper. Turn to the person on the right and tell them, go deeper. Oh, come on the left, tell them, go deeper. You see, go deeper in three areas. Go deeper in my connection with God, number one. Go deeper, number two, in my purpose. Because people without a purpose won't pursue their future. They won't persist. They have no resilience. They don't bounce back. They have no meaning for life. So I got to go deeper in my connection with God. Number two, I go deeper in my purpose. And number three, I go deeper in being planted in my local church. And those three things right there will cause me to be rooted, grounded, and planted, unshakable and unbreakable for no matter what comes to my life, the good times and the bad times. Boy, what a great church to come to on a rainy day. Oh, be with people like you. Amen. Celebrate all that God's doing. Praise God. You all get happy anytime you all want to get happy. Amen. This transformation takes place by getting connected to God, getting connected to my purpose on the screen, and getting connected to my church. Pastor, I was with you for God and my purpose, but not the church. I'm church hurt. I've been there too. The church has let me down. It's let me down too. The church has disappointed me. It's disappointed me too. But I still love the church. Now, you know why? Because Ephesians 5, 25 says, Jesus said through Paul and the Holy Spirit, as husbands love your wives, so you should love, Christ loved the church. As Christ loves the church, so should husbands love their wives. So that verse tells me that Christ loves the church. So if I'm going to be a Christ follower, I can't poo-poo on the church. I can't downgrade the church. Oh, it's full of imperfect people, and I'm one of them, and you're one of them. But yet I still love the church because that's the family of God. The church was Jesus' idea, not man. Jesus created the church. The church is the family of God, the bride of Christ. And so as we get planted with God, planted in our purpose, planted in the local church, then what will happen? You and I will be rooted, grounded, will be established, will be planted. So whatever comes, good or bad, it doesn't knock you off course. It doesn't defeat you. It doesn't detour you. It doesn't wreck your life and end up with shipwrecked faith. So with all of that foundation introduction, let's go to our scripture, Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous, that's you and me, church, will flourish. That's your future. Will flourish. The righteous will flourish like the palm tree and shall grow. Everyone say grow. I'm here today to help you grow spiritually. Did you know that's my job description? I've been here 42 years behind this pulpit, and my job description has never changed. It's to feed the flock. It's to help you grow spiritually. Golden nugget. You and I will never fulfill our destiny without spiritual growth. You and I will never become the person God wants us to be. We'll never arrive where God wants us to end up. We'll never obtain what God has for us unless we grow spiritually. Notice the righteous is to grow and the righteous is to flourish. But we have two trees. We looked at it 2 weeks ago. We have the palm tree and the cedar tree. The palm tree and the cedar tree. And I looked those up in my Bible dictionary, and it said that a palm tree speaks of flourishing and prospering in hard times. Wow. Some would say we're living in hard times right now. I understand that. I get it. I'm living right where you're living. But you know what? I'm not going to get down, depressed, defeated, beaten. I'm not going to be a victim. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to stop dreaming. I'm not going to stop believing. I'm not going to stop flourishing, because the righteous be planted like a palm tree. A palm tree is noticed for thriving in the desert, in dry seasons. To flourish in adversity, hard times, the palm tree speaks of favor, God's provision in hard seasons of life. That's what my Bible dictionary said. Whoa, I love that. And a cedar tree speaks of being strong, stable, steadfast, enduring, longevity, greatness, protection, unshakable in storms. Is that describing you and me? I say yes. Say it with me. I am like a palm tree. I am like a cedar tree. So I don't see anywhere in there I am a victim. I am poor, broke. I'm an addict. I'm a has-been. I'm a loser. I don't see that anywhere. The righteous should declare what the Bible says about them. And you are a palm tree that speaks of God's provision, and you'll grow like a cedar tree that speaks of God's protection. So you and I have God's provision today, and we have God's protection today. And if that doesn't light your fire, we got a prayer line for you at the end of the service today. Amen, somebody. Can we have a praise break? Can y'all get excited about the word? Woo! That doesn't sound like defeat. That doesn't sound like being a loser, a has-been, a castaway, a nobody. No. Those who are planted, that's where I got the title for the series. Those who are planted, rooted and grounded, look at this, in the house of the Lord. That's church, in the house of the Lord, shall flourish in the courts of our God. So you and I want to go deeper in our walk with God, deeper in living on purpose with our purpose, why we're here. And we can help you find that in our God is for You classes. And then thirdly, we're to get planted in the local church, serving, sharing, giving, being a blessing, adding value, ministering one to another, praying one for another, serving one another. Amen. The church is a place where we grow. The church is a lab where we learn how to get along with people. The church is a place where we learn to be accountable. You and I can't grow without accountability. You and I can't grow without accountability. Well, I don't want the church telling me no. We can't, you know, I work out with my two sons. I have a coach. My coach is in San Diego, California. Every day he gives me a workout. Every day he gives me a workout. And a few days ago, I missed a couple days workout. Guess what? I got a text. What's up? What's happening? Your rhythm is broken. Your routine isn't the same. What was he doing? Holding me accountable. What did I do the next 2 days? I worked out. The church is a place where you're held accountable. The church is a place where your gifts, talents, and abilities grow. The church is where you learn how to get along with people. The church is a place where you learn to exalt Christ, get edified, and learn how to evangelize the world. Wow, the local church. So those that are planted, not visit, not date, not once in a while, but those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. Let's all say courts of our God. The courts were where the decisions were made. The courts were where the decisions were made. The courts were where the vital, most important decisions were made. Listen very carefully. I heard Tony Robbins say this week. Tony Robbins, Anthony Robbins. He said this online. I was watching him. And he said this. I'm not endorsing him, but I'm just saying this was really good. He says, decisions control your life. Decisions control your life. I wrote that down. I thought that was worth remembering. Decisions control your life. So you have to learn how to make the right decisions. Where do you learn how to make the right decisions? By being planted in the house of the Lord and flourishing in the courts of our God. Doesn't the Bible say that we enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise? We enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. So notice that worship isn't wasted time. Through worship, we learn how to make the right decisions. Through worship, we get discernment of who to date, who not to date, who to marry, who not to marry, what house to buy, what house not to buy, what career to start, what career not to start, what university to go to, what not to go to, where to move, where not to move. It's in the courts of our God is where we learn to make decisions. And decisions control our life. Powerful, isn't it? And those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age, longevity. So many people, as they grow old in Christ, they get sour, they get bitter, and they get comfortable. Old age is not a place to survive. Old age is a place to thrive. Amen. We're to be fruitful, we're to be faithful, and we're to be flourishing as the older we get. We're not to be drying up. We're not to be giving up. We're not to be cutting back. We're not to be old and decrepit, bitter, and comfortable, and coasting. This verse says the older we get, the more we should thrive, the more we should be faithful and flourish and have the favor of God on our life. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat. That's not calories. That's a word for prospering and flourishing. Notice the older you get, you shouldn't wind down, cut back, get old, be sour, be bitter, be mad, be angry, dream less. No, you should be flourishing. You should be fruitful. You should be more faithful than ever before. That's God's will for our life. You show that the Lord is upright, he's my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Now look at it in the Amplified, what the Amplified says. The uncompromisingly righteous will flourish like a palm tree. Say it with me, I'm like a palm tree. Long-lived, stately, upright, useful, and fruitful. They shall grow. Oh, I like the word grow. If I'm not growing, I will not reach my full potential. Like a cedar tree. Say, I'm like a cedar tree. So that's God's provision, God's protection, majestic, stable, durable, incorruptible. Does that describe you? Planted in the house of the Lord, you will flourish in the courts of our God. See, what I'm teaching right now, there's an anointing here. The word is anointed. There's an anointing here for creativity. There's an anointing here for illumination and revelation. There's an anointing here going on right now to expand our thinking, to think differently, to think in alignment with the word of God. That's why it says when you're planted in the house of the Lord and you're in the courts of our God, that's where the decisions are made. And decisions control your life. Powerful, isn't it? Verse 14, growing in grace. Grace is everything God has. Growing in grace, you shall still bring forth fruit in old age. You will be full of sap, not a sap, but full of sap. Spiritually rich of trust, love, and contentment. You are a living memorial. Say that with me. I am going to be a living memorial. What does that mean? You will be an example to your children and your children's children. You will be a memorial. You'll be an example. You'll be a prototype. You'll be a standard. You'll be the bar. You'll be God's workmanship. You will exhibit, be an example, and show to the world and your family the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God, the power of God, all the attributes of God. When they look at you in old age, as you are planted in the house of the Lord, as you're planted in your purpose, as you're planted and connected with God, you'll end up at the end of your life, not a has-been, not washed out, not burnt out, not weak, defeated, and sick, an unable. No, you'll end up being a living memorial that your family and your children and your grandchildren and your friends and your peers will look at your life and say, I want what they had. I want what they had. I look at them and I see the favor of God. I see the fruitfulness of God. I see the blessing of the Lord all upon them. I see the goodness of God all upon them. They're a living example. They're a memorial of how good God is to those who are planted in the house of the Lord, who are planted in their God-given purpose, who are planted in God. Come on, somebody. I am an example. I am a living memorial. You and I should make people hungry for God. You're a living memorial to show that the Lord is upright, and watch this, and faithful to his promises. Those who are planted, you will see the promises of God come to pass in your life. How many of us have had a prophecy? I'm thinking of Dick Mills, who was a prophet, who was on our board. He's now in heaven. But he used to come here for years, and he was the real jit. He was the real thing. And he put words over my life, over my family, that have yet to come to pass. I have them on my desk. I still have their handwritten notes that he gave me. And you know what? They're going to come to pass. Because God is faithful. He that has promised will bring it to pass. And if I stay planted, if I don't get detoured, if I don't get shipwrecked, if I don't get distracted, if I don't cut back, if I don't get comfortable, if I don't compromise, if I stay planted in my walk with God, my God-given purpose, and the local church family I'm to belong to, I will see every promise God has spoken over my life come to pass, and so will you. If you believe it, give the Lord a big praise for that. He is faithful. So don't you give up that word, that prophecy that was spoken over you, that was declared over you. When the devil says it'll never come to pass, he is a liar. And his pants soon will be on fire. He's my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in him. So look at the benefits of being planted. Flourish. You grow in grace. It's on the screen. Long, satisfied life. A living memorial, an example. At the end of your life, your kids will be proud of you. Your grandkids will be proud of you. Your peers, your friends will remember you at your funeral, should the Lord tarry, and say, what an example of the goodness of God, of the greatness of God, of how good God is. You'll see God's promises come to pass in your life if you stay planted, if you're like the palm tree, that you keep on keeping on in the hard seasons of life. If you're like the cedar tree, if when the storms come, and they'll come, you're unshakable, you're unbreakable, for you know in whom you believe. And it is a blessed assurance that they were singing a while ago. So make quality decisions right now, today. Decisions control our life. How do you get planted then, Pastor, as we end this series? How do you get planted? Number one, as the team comes out, study your Bible. I hope you're still with me in our one-year Bible as a church. Study your Bible. You know, it's more than just reading it. It's studying it. It's memorizing it. It's personalizing it. Do y'all remember I started off this sermon today with Psalm 1, verse 1, 2, and 3? Those who meditate in the Word of God, that's study, right? You'll prosper. You'll be planted by the river, and you'll prosper in wherever you go, whatever you do. I love that. So how do I get planted? I study my Bible. Number two, through prayer. It will help you with all of this in our God is for You classes. But we do have other classes that we can help you with this. Through prayer, I get planted. Prayer is simply me getting in alignment with God's will. Prayer is me getting in alignment with God's will. Prayer is giving God permission to work in my world. Number three, how do I get planted? By service, by serving. We're not born with a servant's heart. How many of you know that? We're born with a selfish heart. Serving in the local church, serving in my community, serving my family, my friends, doesn't come easy. It's not natural. It's a learned skill. But how do I get planted in God, my purpose, in my local church? Number one, I study my Bible. Number two, I develop a prayer life. Number three, I get a servant's heart. I see a need and meet it. I answer the clarion call to help. I look for an opportunity. Number four, worship. I get planted through worship. Worship. Number five, through generosity. God is a generous God. We're not born generous. We're born stingy. It's a skill we have to learn, generosity. Number six, how do I get planted? It's on the screen. Attend church faithfully. Attend church faithfully. Number seven, how do I get planted? Bring others to church with me. You know, last weekend was really awesome. You know, Easter, wasn't it great? Thank you so much for your prayers, fasting. You know, we had over 5,000 people on our campus bodies. And then on our services like this right now, live. See, we can count how many are live, not replays. We had 2,500 people. So we actually had 7,500 people in attendance last weekend. And with the children and the main services and all that, not the replays, we had over 250 decisions for Christ. Wow. One of our members said, I invited 17 people to come to Church on the Rock Easter Sunday morning, and they said 15 of them came. And they said, all 15 were people who used to come before COVID, who used to come, but they're coming back, Pastor. And I said, amen. Thank you so much. So how do you get planted? By bringing others with you to church. Where do I start then, Pastor? You showed me what planted means and how important and the benefits. You broke it down. You made it simple. You told us how to get planted, seven ways that we can develop. So where do I start today? Here's the starting place right here on getting planted. Number one, it's the ABCs. Admit that I'm a sinner. If I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, if I don't have a relationship with Father God, I can start today by simply ABCs. Admit I'm a sinner. B, believe in Jesus Christ and all that he's done for me on the cross, the grave, and the resurrection. Believe, ABCs, that's where I start. Just admit, God, I need you. God, I can't make it without you. God, you created me. You know me better than me. God, I want you in my life. And B, believe in Jesus Christ and all that he's done for you. And number three, commit. Start with the ABCs. Commit to follow him. Make Jesus your best friend. Make him your ultimate leader, Savior, Lord, confidant, and object of worship. That's where we start today with the ABCs. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed right now, Christians praying under their breath, those of you online, you say, Pastor, I want to start today. Pastor, my life has been a roller coaster. It's been up and down, in and out. Pastor, I need God. I need stability. I need resilience. I need strength to bounce back. I need to know my purpose. I need to know where I belong. I need to know God for who he is and not what people tell me he is. I want to give my life to him today, Pastor. I admit I'm a sinner. I believe in Jesus and all he did for me, and I'm going to commit to follow him and make him the object of my worship. Pray for me. If that's you online, just punch the smart device that you have. You're simply saying, yes, that's me, and we'll agree with you. We'll pray with you. We have live people standing by. Here in the auditorium, those of you in the Rock Express, the family table in the lobby, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You'd say, Pastor, include me today. Pastor, I need God. I'm tired of the life I've been living. I want to make the most of my life. I need God's love and acceptance and forgiveness. I need to know why God created me, why I'm here, what I'm to do. I want to know, Pastor, that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I want to know that I'm right with God. Pastor, will God forgive me? We talked about that last week at Easter. We talked about God's love, his mercy, his grace. Yes, he will. Doesn't matter the prodigal. We've all been the prodigal, those who wasted our life. But he's waiting for you and I to come home. So if that's you, no one's going to come to you. But faith is an act. You got to do something. Heaven is watching. You see, Pastor, pray for me. Include me in this prayer. Raise your hand right now up every section. And just raise it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. Just keep it up so heaven sees it. Just keep it up for a few seconds. Put your hand up. Don't miss this opportunity. What a spirit of love there is here right now. The Father's waiting for you to come home, come back. You can put your hands down. Church, let's all pray this prayer together. Let's help them right now. Say it with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for me and he rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look up, everybody, and celebrate with heaven.
Would you like to keep growing in your faith? At Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's learning more about discovering what it means to join a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/connect. where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you are part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.